Welcome to this edition of Politics Kingston. We're going to be concentrating this week on the budget, the council budget for the next year, 2019-20. The Lib Dems obviously won the elections back in May, and since then they've been operating off our budget, which I'm told is due to come in pretty much on target. And that's considering we've had to cut £22 million out of the budget this year, the largest sum that's ever had to be cut. The Lib Dems launched this budget on Monday the 21st. They claim that it's a budget that focuses the resources on those who need it most and what matters to communities, which I would have thought was the objective of pretty much every budget that's ever been written. So, but they seem to be particularly focusing on it being to protect the vulnerable. So we'll be examining how much it does that during the course of the next few minutes. So I'm joined this week by Councillor Jason Hughes, and also by former councillor Terry Payton, who's in at the beginning, and let's hear what they've got to say about this new budget from the Lib Dems. So let's begin by dealing with the biggest issue, which is the increase in council tax, which is this year going to go up by, well, let's call it 5%. I mean, it's 4.99% for obvious reasons, but let's call it 5%. This is the first year of the Lib Dems budget, and here we are seeing them whack it up as high as they possibly can, which for me has always been a bit odd, because I've always struggled with council tax and Lib Dems, because the Lib Dems don't like council tax. They tell us that it disproportionately hits the poor because it's sort of a very retro sort of council tax, sort of tax. So to put it up by 5% means they're going to hit the poor, and in fact this is something which is a concern all round really about their budget this year. But anybody got any views about 5% rises? Who suffers the most?
I think obviously the poor and the vulnerable people are going to suffer the most, but to me this sounds like it's kind of a lazy politics, because to work to keep the council tax down it takes a lot of effort, but this is just the simple option. Let's just put it up, and then the most vulnerable are going to suffer. So I think it's just lazy politics.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's clear to me.
Because you like tax, don't you, Jason? You want more tax.
I wouldn't say it was one of my favourite things. With every fibre of my being, every atom of my political body, I want to reduce the tax burden on everyone. But I agree with Terry in the sense that this budget just screams a lack of ambition. There is no imagination behind trying to keep down the tax burden at all. And for all of the Lib Dem rhetoric about keeping vulnerable people, you know, insulated from other budgetary pressures, this simply does not represent that point of view. I'm dismayed.
What's also odd is that people are going to have trouble with is that, having put the council tax up by 5%, which is okay, it's probably about £4.5 million, something like that, additional spending coming in. They're then going to put most of it in the bank account and just let it sit there as reserves. So actually, there's not really helping anybody at all, because it's not saving services by putting it up. It's not improving services by putting it up. So they're putting it up, sticking it in the bank, and then cutting other services. So it's all a bit of a muddle, really. And of course, they're going to blame the previous Conservative administration, because that's the way these things happen. But you do sit here and think, in the past few weeks when we've had these podcasts, we've been talking about the need for more police, more street cleaning. And you just think to yourself, well, why couldn't that money have been spent on that? I mean, if that's what you're going to tax people for, then why not bring it in for that way?
I think a core issue there is that the Liberal Democrats across the country, you know, in the small amount of councils that they actually have control and therefore tax raising powers, is that they treat the public purse as though it's a plaything, and you know they indulge all kinds of pet projects, and rather than take difficult decisions to reduce local government expenditure whilst protecting top class services, they always see a tax rise as some sort of inalienable right that they have.
So let's just turn to one of those pet projects. Let's talk about air quality. So they made a proposal that they want to do something about air quality, and their solution is to massively increase, although to be fair, we don't know by how much, because they haven't actually announced the detail of this. They've decided to increase
parking charges for people who own cars within controlled parking zones, of which there are quite a lot across the borough. They're not everywhere, but there are quite a lot. And basically it means that if you've got an older car or a more polluting car, the reality is that you're going to have to pay more tax, which, again, hitting the poorer members of society as much as anything else. I mean, I don't know, my car's probably okay. It's a fairly new diesel that'd probably be okay in a CPZ, but I don't know. What's yours, Terry? What's your...
Mine's a petrol. I deliberately bought petrol some time ago to get away from diesels. But something they haven't even sort of, you know, if you start looking at this, you start looking at the retail sector of Kingston, which, like any retail sector, is suffering, and small businesses, which will struggle. So this is going to be extra finance on small business. Be less people coming to Kingston to use our retail sector, which is going to affect the businesses in Kingston. Mm-hmm. It could be the disaster coming.
Yeah, well, that particularly is going to be the case when they hike up the parking charges more around. They're going to stick another 5% on parking charges. And for the first time ever, and I'll be honest with you, I don't know whether this happens in other parts of London, they're also going to start charging for motorcycle parking, which I'd again thought was a retrograde step, because in terms of getting people in and out of Kingston, coming in by motorcycle is as good as coming in by bike, isn't it? I mean, a thought.
But, of course, you know. I mean, there are some, obviously, emissions on motorcycles, but of course they're not sitting in traffic pumping out fumes for hours. They're getting through the traffic, getting to the place where they want to be, and parking up and getting off and do their business and going again, instead of just sitting in traffic like the cars are doing. I can't see this is going to help. And what about through traffic? This isn't going to make any difference to people coming through. Yeah. And that's what most of our pollution is coming from.
Mm. I mean, nobody sensible could disagree that overall we need to reduce emissions, CO2, in order to benefit quality of life. But at the same time, it's very easy for administration that, again, lacks any imagination, foresight and vision, just to hit motorists. And when it comes to motorcycles, they are smaller vehicles. They don't hold up, as Terry says, traffic in the same way as others. So this is misguided. And the point about it impacting upon people who have older vehicles, and they tend to be people who may not be able to just go, I'll buy a new car, that it fits a certain emissions.
We have quite a significant elderly population. I think my own father is 81 and drives an old Nissan Micra. Well, you know, what's going to happen to him if he wants to come and shop in Kingston? Mm. You know, he's just not going to come anymore.
And also, I'm completely against the idea that you could introduce taxes on decisions that somebody's made in the past. I mean, in my instance, I mean, you, Terry, have gone over to petrol. I bought diesel. I wouldn't say I bought the diesel on the basis that Gordon Brown said I should buy a diesel, but the reality was a lot of people were encouraged to buy diesels, and it's turned out that they are the most polluting cars, and now the government's going to tax you more because you took their advice and did what they wanted you to do. So, I mean, it's, you know, the whole thing is a bit of a mess, and it'd be interesting to see the detail, but they've got a very large sum against this in their budget. It's about £500,000 they want to get off motorists with older cars. So it'll be very interesting to see what happens around this. Why don't we just move on to some of the other cuts which they're talking about, or things they're looking to do to bring in more money. I got into a bit of trouble on Twitter yesterday, as I'm always getting into trouble on Twitter with some people, around the CCTV camera fine network that they want to introduce and expand. So this is the stuff that fines motorists, often for, you know, really ridiculously minor infringements, like you come to the end of a bus lane, you just cut across the end and suddenly you're slapped with £100 fine. So they want to put more CCTV cameras in to do that. I mean, what's ironic about that, of course, is that Terry, you remember, and bears the scars of his more than anybody else, is the Lib Dems during the last 4 years were very much against the idea of CCTV cameras, and in putting their manifesto that they were going to try and find a fairer way of fining motorists. We still don't know what that means. We have asked, but we still haven't really had a response to that. But I wonder what your view is, Terry. You were at the sharp end of this when we had all the furore over Surbiton Crescent.
I suppose it was interesting at the time because there was a lot of pressure from the side to put the cameras in from the Lib Dems at the time on certain junctions like the Surbiton Crescent one. But the second it was in, they then turned against what they were suggesting beforehand and trying to make it very difficult. But that's the Lib Dems for you. They say one thing and do another. And looking at some of the situations across Kingston, we've got a number of bus lanes as well as the yellow box junctions which really need not cameras, it needs people to check these, because there are occasions when people get caught out and they're just going to get a ticket. I think the latest one I saw was outside schools. Lots of people complaining that a lot of our roads are fairly narrow, and where they've had to stop at the crossing in front of the school where there's no parking, but they're actually waiting for a car to come the other way, they're still getting parking tickets, and there's been quite a few of those seem to be happening more and more lately.
So. Yeah, I mean, yellow box junctions are a classic one, aren't they, really? Because the law says you shouldn't even enter it until you can get out of it. That's what the law says. But it's so easy to just drift across a yellow box and, you know, just put your front wheels into it and you're going to get a ticket. And that, I thought, was where we were going to go with this sort of common sense approach, but we don't seem to be getting there. Jason?
Well, I'm going to say, the situation's changing. As you go to pull across a junction, which is clear ahead of you, somebody cuts across into your lane and then you're stuck. And then with a camera, you've got an automatic fine when it wasn't your fault anyway. So.
Jason, what are the other things that are being cut? I know you've got, because you've got a lot of people you know who live in Sutton, and one of the proposals, which is for next year, I think it is, it wouldn't happen this year, it happened in next year's budget, which they've already put in, is that they want to change the waste collections so that bins are no longer collected from the householder's drive or garden area or near their gate, that the householder's going to have to put the bin directly on the pavement. Now, there's Sutton, I think, over the council that have recently adopted this. I think Merton have also done it as well. And it's not exactly gone down well and been popular, has it?
No, absolutely not. And I've still got many good friends in Sutton who complain to me regularly on this. And I just know that we're going to get a litany of complaints from residents who are hacked off with this incoming change anyway. The fact of the matter is that a lot of pavements outside properties in Kingston are not wide enough to accommodate large bins. It is going to be a nightmare. And also there are issues to do with accessibility as well. If you've got a pram, if you've got kids, if you're disabled, this is going to be a nightmare. And also for easy access, let's say, for example, in the case of an emergency, somebody needs to get in your house or you need to get out of your house, having an army of bins on the pavement is not exactly ideal, is it? So this is poorly thought through, and I think they need to have a good look at the contractual arrangements with our provider on this.
They say
It's going to be interesting in some awkward weather conditions as well. We're only a bit of a storm. These now are going to be across the roads, across the pavements, and be everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, you reckon it's going to save them £300,000 a year, which, you know, okay, it's not a small amount, but it does make you worry, doesn't it, really, about what the blooming streets is going to look like if you're suddenly putting all these bins on the roads. They're also, with cold weather coming, they're going to cut back on road gritting, which is a bit of a nonsense, really. I mean, considering it's that really does need is a safety issue. They're also cutting back, and I know this is going to annoy many people, cutting back on the cutting of grass verges. So they're going to do that for 1 month less than they have in the past, which is going to be particularly annoying. They're going to hike up the charges for recycling garden waste, even though the Conservative government has said that they want to abolish those charges, and they're trying to consult on them in it. They're also going to cut the planning department, so there'll be less planners there to process people's home extensions and all those sorts of things. So it's a bit of a mishmash on that.
Yeah, and what I find particularly troubling about this aspect of, you know, the Lib Dems' inadequate budget is that in terms of their campaigning, they have always focused on what they perceive to be the overdevelopment of the borough. And in order to make sure that you have appropriate development that provides sufficient housing for families, which we desperately need in the borough, you need a functioning, well-resourced professional planning department in order to deal with these pressures. And putting in your leaflets and campaign messaging that you take planning very seriously and you're protecting the character of the borough needs to be matched with action, and that's not happening.
Yeah.
And when we're talking about, you know, issues as fundamental to local government services as keeping your streets adequately accessible via having gritting services, that's a no-brainer. That's not something that should be at the front line of your cut list.
Well, councils do lots of things. The thing they spend the least amount of money on is the universal services that every resident sees, So grass cutting, you know, gritting roads, bin collections. But actually, the portion of the budget spent there is quite small. So cutting it further, it's small beer in the whole picture of the whole the budget. And it is a very odd position they're kind of getting themselves into if they think that. I mean, there's even some... we haven't listed it on some of the things we've been putting out about the budget, but there's even some decision to remove bulb planting from the borough and replace it with sustainable undergrowth or something or other, which means, you know, we're going to have less of that happening in the brightening up of the borough as well. And it saves, you know, £5,000 or £6,000. It just seems mad to me.
Yeah, and it's small things like the quality of your street scene, and apology for the local government jargon there, just basically what your street looks like. Is it inviting? Yeah. Is it green? Is it pleasant? Is it the kind of place that you'd be proud to live in? And these things, generally speaking, do not cost a lot of money, but they have a huge impact. Mm. So the swinging cuts, the grass cutting of verges in the borough is going to make a difference. But, you know, the Liberal Democrats seem completely disinterested in something that, frankly, keeps our borough in a nice condition.
And then we come to the bit which is, I suppose, the most peculiar about this budget. I mean, that's the services that we offer to the vulnerable, to children, to the elderly. And I'm just frankly staggered by how much they're intending to cut out of that area. I mean, there's grants to the voluntary sector, which obviously support many of the vulnerable, is being cut. They're looking to increase the charges that elderly residents pay for domiciliary care. They're cutting the town centre shop mobility, which allows people to get around, disabled shoppers to get around Kingston in the town centre. They are cutting the bereavement services. There are cuts to mental health, which is extraordinary considering Lib Dems have had appointed mental health champions. And cutting the youth service, which is focused the most on vulnerable children, slashing the provision of children's centres, which, again, I'd have never have expected from the Liberal Democrats. It just seems that, you know, despite the fact they keep trying to say this is a budget to protect the vulnerable, it's entirely the opposite. And maybe that's how we should deal with Lib Dem headlines in the future, is when you see a headline that says one thing, think the opposite, and that will probably be what it's doing.
Precisely. You know, if only saying it made it true, then the Liberal Democrats would be exceptionally decent to the vulnerable and other people who are disproportionately affected by local government decision making. The rhetoric and, quite frankly, some of the lies that this cynical administration put out do not match any of their commitments, and in my opinion, it's a political contract you have with residents. If you say something, you should do it, and you should be held accountable. It just doesn't match up, in my experience, of Kingston's Liberal Democrats.
Yeah, and to make it worse, the final nail in this coffin is the fact that they are going to cut the funding to the customer contact centre, which means that nobody's going to be able to ring up and complain.
Well, I'll go out on a limb here and say they've done that on purpose, because they know they're going to get a lot of complaints.
Maybe that's the case.
Let's move on to what I would suggest is even more amazing than a budget that penalises the vulnerable of the borough by ramping up council tax, which disproportionately hits them, and then cutting all the services of the vulnerable. But something which I have to say, I would never ever have believed was possible from a Liberal Democrat council, and that is cutting all of the funding to the Rose Theatre that currently goes in. I'll tell you what, there's two reasons for this. One is that the history of the theatre is very much that it was seen as a Liberal Democrat vision. It was certainly something that, to be fair to Liberal Democrats, they did get opened in 2006. I think it was at a cost much higher than it should have been, but that's a debate that's been in the past now. And we, when we came in 2014, said, you know, it's all very well, but we need to find a way of putting this back into a proper funding mechanism because the Rose is struggling. So we did reduce the amount of money they received. But to be honest with you, a lot of the money that Rose Theatre was receiving from the council as a sort of grant was then being returned to the council in the form of rent or paying off debt or
whatever else it was. So it was one of those sort of circular money things. So we cleaned it all up and cleaned up their balance sheet. And they've been a very successful theatre. You know, they've not depended on any other additional money. But what was really bizarre about this is that this money is not free money that's going into the Rose. I doubt really that it's going to end up closing the Rose, but it's going to make it tougher for them. But a lot of the money was being spent on services being delivered to the council by the theatre. So kids' free tickets. So there were a lot of school parties that would come along to the Rose for free. And, you know, there's also the International Youth Arts Festival, which goes on as well, and that's clearly going to have its funding cut as well. So I'm just a bit surprised by it all, to be honest with you. I think it's very unusual to consider that the Liberal Democrats would be perceived as the people that would cut this, and I can't imagine what some of their supporters and activists think of this, because many of their supporters and activists are friends of the theatre or past directors. It's a very odd place.
Yeah, and this is a particularly disappointing aspect of the budget, because we have a cultural hub in Kingston, and the Rose Theatre is a pillar in that architecture, and is something that we should be proud of. And for all the flummery that the Lib Dems, you know, put out, you know, calling themselves friends of the arts and the culture in Kingston, this doesn't seem to sit comfortably with that at all. Not everybody goes to theatres, we all know that.
Agreed.
Yeah, it's a cultural asset, and we need to ensure that Kingston is maintained as a place where you go to shop, to live, and have a great experience, and the Rose Theatre is a part of that.
What's really interesting is that the budget line that cuts out this money, it's £265,000 over the 3 years to be cut. The budget line that cuts it out says that the council is going to support the theatre in becoming more sustainable. And I sat there thinking, the last thing you want is a council thinking it knows how theatres work. I say that withdrawing the money might not close the Rose Theatre, but if the council has any role in making it sustainable, it definitely will close.
Exactly. And if you look at the amount of money that this is going to be saving, and I don't really consider it to be a saving, I think it's a withdrawal of an investment with no return, or only a prospect of return. That doesn't even cover what they spent on sacking the previous chief executive.
No, exactly.
Because council leader, Liz Green, didn't get on with her.
So, that's true.
Yeah.
It's true.
So, £312,000 later. Yeah, all right.
Yeah, you're right. 1 year of theatre funding that would have been in, which is a crazy, crazy position to be in. Let's turn to, obviously, they have raised money through council tax, so they are cutting some services, and a lot of the money is being put into the reserves rather than being spent. Okay, Jess, let's turn to where they are spending money, because obviously they are raising money through increased council tax. As I said earlier, about £4.5 million, I think it is. Most of that is going into reserves. So the reality is that they are spending more money on some services that they want to expand, but that's not coming from the council tax, it's coming from the cuts to the vulnerable that's happening. You mentioned just a little while ago the £312,000 for the former chief executive. They've now also decided to get rid of the deputy chief executive, so that's going to be another cost. So probably well over £500,000 they'll have spent in less than a year on chief executives. But there are also some other things. I know some of these will just make you go wild. I mean, £500,000 on Brexit preparations.
Yeah, I mean, Brexit was going to come up, and frankly, this is something that utterly disappoints me from the administration, because it's very indicative of the fact that the Liberal Democrats in Kingston think they're running a little sovereign city state, and £500,000 spent on this grandiose political obsession that the Liberal Democrats have with Brexit really, really disappoints, on the basis that that's £500,000 that could have gone into other services, the Rose Theatre, making sure that verges are kept in
grass,
kept well and clean and all that. that kind of stuff in a decent state, and also, you know, gritting on roads. So, I mean, what are they doing? I mean, are we employing an ambassador from Kingston to go to Brussels to make sure that, I don't know, we have regulatory alliance, or the backstop at Tolworth is protected?
Tolworth backstop.
Yeah, exactly.
There was something in the budget that said it was to mitigate or something like that against increased demand. I'm not quite sure increased demand for what, whether it was increased demand for Brexit or something. We thought that the borders of the borough are going to be flooded with refugees from Merton or maybe Sutton, where the bins are so bad.
Well, when I looked at my council tax bill, I needed extra support for emotional services. Yeah. Well, exactly. I'm not sure whether this Brexit preparation, £500,000 covers that. But, yeah. You know, it's pompous, it's otherworldly, and it's classically Lib Dem.
Yeah, exactly. The other increase in spending is they want to have an extra spin doctor in the comms department to spin about consultations, apparently, and more governance officers. This is the people that run our committee system, which, frankly, is bonkers. I mean, you know, our committee system doesn't work very well anyway, and they should be looking to reform that rather than actually just trying to make something work that doesn't work. And then on top of that, they want six new staff for the neighbourhood committees. And you have to say, where are the priorities here? I mean, the neighbourhood committees are struggling. They don't function. They've now turned them back to how they were 20 years ago, and they didn't function then very well. And the solution, apparently, is going to be six more officers, probably, at the cost of £300,000 between those six, and plus all the other comms officers. So again, you see, creeping up to £500,000 of spin doctors, governance officers, neighbourhood committee structures, just seems completely the wrong priority when you're cutting the vulnerable.
Absolutely, and you know, rather than more spin doctors, more governance pin pushers, and people propping up a failing neighbourhood committee system, they've cut police officers.
Crazy.
Under the Conservatives, we invested money in police officers. We actually purchased more police officers for this borough. Yeah. So I think, you know, rather than somebody, and I can understand that the spin doctor's going to have their work cut out selling this to the press and the public, this ridiculous budget. It just, to me, smacks of a complete lack of the right priorities.
It's a very good point, actually. You're right. You know, six new staff for neighbourhood committees, and you could have had extra police.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's your choice, isn't it?
You go and ask anybody in my ward, in Old Morgan, which suffers from, you know, an epidemic of burglary at the moment. Mm. They want more coppers on the street. They don't need somebody sitting in the town hall, poring over government's documents. And stuff like that. It's an important function, of course it is, but on the list of priorities, it ain't at the top of mind.
Yeah. I mean, in summary, that's where this budget is incredibly disappointing. It just doesn't seem to focus on what we know are priorities for the community. And last year when we did freeze council tax, it was done for a good reason, because people are fed up of paying more council tax. It is the highest in London, and constantly putting council tax up, when you're then spending that money on things which have no benefit to the people that live here, can't be right. And you've got to wonder what's going on within the Lib Dem group around this. I mean, I know it's difficult. They've got a large number of councillors, many of which have not been councillors before. But this just seems to be more about settling some internal wranglings than anything else, the whole budget. Mm. And, you know, when I look back over the many, many years I've looked at Lib Dem budgets, this has got to be one of the most bizarre that I've come across.
Yeah, and
no direction, no theme, yeah. Rudderless, completely all over the place, lacking in leadership, no vision. It's just a string of cuts.
And underpinning all of that, Kevin, is the fact that the Liberal Democrats are saying that this council is on the very brink of bankruptcy.
Yeah.
So we've already had the B word in Brexit during this podcast, but yeah, the other B word stalking the nightmares of Kingston residents is that of bankruptcy. The Liberal Democrats are asserting left, right and centre pure lies. The council is nowhere near a state of bankruptcy. In fact, I think it's almost impossible in a legal sense for a council to be bankrupt. So I'd really think this is cynical. And it's scaremongering on the basis that if you are a resident of this borough and you rely upon council services because you are vulnerable, being told deceitfully that your local authority is about to be bankrupt, i.e. skint, is going to scare you because yeah. you're going to be worried about your services. I think this is really deplorable politics, and I don't want to see any more of it.
Agreed.
I'll be working with you, Kevin, and the rest of the Conservative councillors and anybody else who wants to get involved to blow open this catalogue of lies.
Good, good. And one of the interesting things, actually, is that the finance chief in the council has to sign off the budget, and they've done so with a risk assessment of the budget. And what's interesting is that almost all of the things, I mean, of the £12 million of cuts, I think it's about £11 million, if I recall correctly off the top of my head, £11 million of it are ranked as being risky. Only £1 million is actually given a sort of green light as being things that can be delivered. And you sit there going, well, you've got a risky budget that's cuts and cuts and cuts to the vulnerable, penalises the vulnerable with higher council tax, and in the end, you do wonder what the council's going to look like if we have to put up with 4 years of this. But that's where we are. That's the end of that. It's this year's budget. We'll see whether they'll change it. We'll be looking to see whether we can help them change it by convincing them that some of these things are not the right approach. And the budget council, which decides the final budget, is at the end of February. And then council tax bills will start falling soon after.
Can't wait.
So that's it for this week. As we said, the budget now wends its way through to the end of February. It goes into each of the strategic committees of the council to see whether there are views to be discussed there. And then it'll go back to a full budget council, as I say, at the end of February to be approved. And then soon after that, the new council tax bills with this higher rate of council tax, which is about £100 extra, a bandy, something like that, will start falling through your letterbox. So don't spend all your money just yet, because you've got to pay a bit more to the council. Speak soon.